Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome to Overnight America. All right. Back on a Sunday night. I got a story. You're not going to believe it. You are absolutely not going to believe what happened to me over the weekend. All right. I've been waiting to tell this one for days. It happened on Friday night. Put the kid down for bed. Wife and I are hanging out in the living room and, you know, just relaxing, doing what you normally do when you're a parent. You think to yourself, oh, I love our kid so much, but I'm glad that he's sleeping and I don't have to, you know, don't have to worry about anything right now, at least for the next several hours. I want to do a flashback to what we talked about on this show 1 week ago on Sunday night into Monday morning. There was a story out of the University of Michigan where they had researchers down in the Amazon and they were witnessing things like giant spiders that were eating possums. The spider was hovering over a possum. It had its, I don't know, little fangs built into it, and it was dragging the possum underneath him as he was walking on the floor of the Amazon. One of the craziest, creepiest, grossest things I've seen in a long time. So as part of that, okay, we do this whole thing, and I tell you, I don't want the spiders. I hate the spiders. A lot of people called in and defended the spiders. Oh, you got to have spiders in the home. Spiders are great for your home. They kill all the bugs. Then we had this call, all right? I want to replay for you this call.
That is the good thing about them.
Do you want more spiders? Is that what you want?
No, heck no. I don't want any bugs.
You know what you actually need is a bat. Have you considered getting a bat in your house? Yeah, like a bat just hanging from your ceiling.
A fucking bat?
That bat will take care of all the bugs.
I thought you meant a bat that flies around.
No, exactly. That kind of bat. Yeah, we're talking like the animal that will hang from your ceiling and it'll just fly around and eat all the bugs in your house.
Would you like a bat in your house?
No, if I had a problem with bugs, I might consider it because that would do it. I had a bat in the house on Friday. I couldn't believe it. It was unbelievable. So I'm on the couch. We're just kind of relaxing. And all of a sudden, I see this blur. This blur goes by, and I thought it was a really big bug. And I thought, oh, man, like a moth or something got inside. Oh, great. And then it just again. It was going from the front of the house to the back of the house to the front of the house and the back of the house. This bat was flying like crazy. And my wife is freaking out. First, the instinct was hide under the blankets, okay? So she hides under hers and I hide under mine. And I think, wait a minute, we got to do something. So then I take the blanket with me when this bat flies in the front. I mean, it's just doing laps. It's like, it's like 20 miles an hour. This thing is just flying like crazy. We don't know what's going on. So immediately I run to the back sliding glass door. I open this thing up and hopes that the thing flies out. Wasn't so lucky. So I kept trying to take this blanket and I was trying to swat this thing out of the air, out the open door. And at this point, my dog completely abandons me. He runs outside. He thinks this is his opportunity to go to the bathroom. Doesn't like me flinging this blanket in the air. So he's like, I'm out of here. Goes through the back door and he's out in the backyard. He's sitting this one out. Thanks a lot, pup. I thought you had my back. So as I can't get him out, I drop the blanket and I realize I got to get a broom and I got to smack this thing out of the air. I'm going to have to like try to bat this thing home run derby style out the back door. So while this thing's going, my poor wife, and I'm saying, honey, can you help me? She's not moving. She's not moving. She's hiding under this blanket. And I run and grab this broom that we have in the kitchen. And I open and I run to the front door and I open up the front door too. And I thought, maybe I'll just get lucky. It'll go through one of these doors. It's just flying around. And this is what you hear every like 5 seconds. And it flies away and it comes back. And I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to do this. So I get up. and through the kitchen to the front of the house, and I see my opening. I swat, hit the thing, hits our front curtain. We have a big glass window, you know, in the front of the house, hits the curtain and just slides down. And I see it kind of moving the curtain around like it's kind of like stuck at the bottom of the curtain. So I think this is my chance. So I take my broom and I pin it up against the floor and the thing's screaming. It's screaming. No, not my wife, the bat. And what I do is I move this thing and I just keep it pushed up against the floor while it's screaming. And I do like my best Brett Hall wrist shot right out the front door. Bats out, close the door and lock it, and done. Go grab the dog, yell, get in here, hurry up. I got to close the back door before something else flies in. Oh my goodness, it was crazy. And my poor wife, I thought she was crying. She's telling me she didn't cry, but she definitely freaked out, just like I did. But I thought, we can't just have this thing flying around. Thank goodness it didn't make it into the kid's bedroom while he was sleeping. All of this excitement, he missed all of it. Couldn't wait to tell him in the morning, you're not going to believe what happened while you were sleeping. He didn't know what a bat was, so I had to explain it to him. And then I showed him a video of it. So my wife and I think, how in the world did this bat get in the house? And we start doing some Google searches. And we figure out that sometimes they can get into the attic and they'll find an opening between the walls, and it'll basically, if it can't get back out, it'll find an opening. It'll go into the basement, from the attic to the basement, and an opening between the wall, and then it'll find its way and fly up. And that's exactly what it did. So there's this weird opening in our house where there was a laundry chute where they closed it off, but there was still an opening in the wall. So I went downstairs, I shoved a towel up in that hole, and then I took some cardboard and I duct taped it all around that opening just in case there was something else. And then I had to try to give myself the courage the next day to go up in the attic to see if there was any way a bat got up there. And I'll tell you what, you want to talk about moments of dad bravery? This is something only dads can appreciate. There's a certain amount of dad bravery out there when you stick your head through an opening in the ceiling and you don't know if you're going to be immediately flooded with a colony of bats to your face. Oh, was that scary. Oh, was that scary. And maybe I'll tell you the second part of that story after I got up in the attic right after the break. Let me get to Elizabeth real quick, who's calling in from St. Louis. Hey, Elizabeth, what's going on?
Hi, I think the story is very funny, except that bats' teeth are very sharp.
Yeah.
They're so sharp that you might not even realize if that bat got anywhere near you, you could have been bitten.
Oh, I don't think it touched me. It just flew the whole time. I don't think it made contact with any of us.
Okay, that's the only thing. If you're sure of that, that's one thing. You might never find the bite. I had a friend who went to the doctor immediately after she thought she had been bitten. Mm-hmm. They never found the bite, but she was titered for rabies.
Uh-huh. That's something you got to be careful with. I know those bats are dangerous. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And it is scary. All of that is extremely scary, but no, it did not make contact. It flew around, right. Made a lap. Thank goodness it didn't land anywhere. And no, it was out. I got it out immediately.
Well, congratulations to you for wrangling that bat out of your house.
I got to tell you, the instincts kicked in, and it's a moment of, you got to do it. Like, there's no other option. I think it was a warm-up to, if there was another intruder in the house, at least I know I'll be able to confront it with, this is like a training, you know, this is probably the best training you can get. And nothing wakes you up faster. You know, this was about 9:30 at night. We're a little bit sleepy at that point. You know, we go to bed early when I'm not doing the show. I go to bed normally like 9:30 or 10. And that, it was like three shots of espresso right into the bloodstream. There was nothing that could wake you up faster than a bat flying around your house.
Exactly.
Why do people look at these things like they're cuddly, friendly little things, you know?
People don't know.
It's nuts. Don't play around with bats. Oh, yeah. It was scary. How do you know so much about bats and rabies?
Well, because as I said, I had a friend who had that happen to her. Didn't think the bat came anywhere near her, but decided to go to the doctor, and they barely found within 2 hours, they barely found where the bat actually did get close enough to bite her. And then they did the blood test to see if she titered, and she did.
Oh, wow. How long does that take to show up, you think?
You know, I think that if this happened over the weekend, you would know now.
Yeah, no, everyone's fine in the house. Thank goodness.
No, you wouldn't know if you had the rabies, but it would show up on a blood test whether you titered for having been bitten by something rabid.
Yeah, no, I don't think I should go get tested. I guess I could out of precaution, but I know for sure this thing didn't get close enough to us.
Good. Well, I hope you're right.
Yeah. All right, Elizabeth, thank you for the call.
You bet. Bye. Take care.
All right, so wait until you find out what happens next. So the next day, I have a plan on what I'm going to do when I get up in that attic. And I was scared to death. I was going to pop my head up that attic hole and immediately see a bunch of bats hanging out. And then there's a whole nother decision you have to make. That's part of the story coming up, too. And I want to mention we have a couple of interviews. One this hour. Lillian Salerno is someone that works with farmers when it comes to their loans. And apparently a lot of farmers' loans are due, but they don't have the money to pay it because of what's going on with this trade battle with China. Real fascinating look at what farmers are facing. We'll bring that this hour, too, coming up on Overnight America KMOX. So I'm looking up what looks like some bat propaganda online. So I just did a quick search, thanks to Elizabeth, who put it in my mind, a better look and see when signs of bat rabies show up, just in case. So I go to and I start searching, and the CDC's web pages don't load up. So thanks, CDC, government. Next on the list is from batworld.org. So I feel like this is bat propaganda. And they are running the spin machine on this thing. It says, all bats do not carry rabies. Okay. And then it says, more people die annually from leprosy or the plague than from rabies. Oh, that's nice to know. So you're saying that I have a chance of getting the plague? One says, if a bat bites you, you will likely feel it. You cannot scratch or catch rabies just by being near a bat. And then it points out that there are between 0 to 2 human deaths per year from bat rabies in the United States. Wow. See? The bat propaganda in full force tonight. Wow. Well, at least from that website. But no, you don't take these things lightly. You know, I was worried about it altogether. You don't want to mess around with something like that, obviously. It's scary. It is scary. You don't want to catch rabies from a bat. So let me tell you how the rest of this story plays out. And someone texted in, you're a wuss. Get out of here. I'm a wuss. What are you talking about? Is there a good way to handle a bat flying around your house? Not a chance. That's hectic. I've never experienced that before. We have a fireplace, but it didn't come through the fireplace. We figured it came out through the attic. And I wasn't going to do anything at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, you know? It wasn't going to happen. So I came up with a plan. I kind of knew that in the attic, there is the attic vent window that had a mesh screening on it. And I thought, well, maybe when I put the mesh screening on, I did it pretty loose. And unfortunately, I didn't have one that could cover the full window. So I had to do it on 2 strips. So the middle part of it was, you know, I did it tight, but the middle part of it definitely, if something wanted to get through, it could. So I thought that's probably what happened. It probably got in that way, hung out in the attic for a little while, and then found its way into the basement. Now, I knew the thing was in there probably a day or two because on Thursday, I heard something in the attic. I thought it was just the sound of maybe some ice breaking off the roof and sliding down. But in retrospect, I believe that I heard the bat. And I knew I had to get up there. And I knew if there's anything else, we got to take care of it immediately. We're just not going to have a bat sanctuary in our attic waiting. And ugh. And then I had to figure out how in the world did it get to the basement, if anything. It had to have weaseled its way down there. So I go to Home Depot. I pick up some aluminum, really heavy-duty screening. And I'm thinking, there's no way a bat's going to get through this. So I pick this up, make sure I have my staple gun ready because, you know, I'm going to staple this thing up, and I'm going to close that opening off in the attic. But the hardest part is pulling that ladder out, climbing through the hole, popping your head up, and not knowing if you're immediately going to get slapped in the face with more bats. What if there was more bats? What if there's a bunch of bats? What if there's baby bats? What if they're just going to go crazy and fly back into the house? My poor kid's hiding underneath the kitchen table. He doesn't want any part of it, and good for him. I coach my wife and kid, and I said, if I yell bat, you get into one of the bedrooms and you close the door and you do not open it, right? You take the dog with you and you get in and you hide. And I'll take care of it when it's flying around. So I get the ladder and I have the little access door that's in the ceiling. It's in our hallway. And I reach up and I push it up and I get it out of the way. And I'm thinking, oh, please be there. Please, please no bats. Please, please no bats. Then I have to get another ladder, and I get the one, I slide it up, get it up there, and I bring my flashlight, and I start looking around the immediate area before I get through the hole, didn't see anything, get all the way to the top, and I start looking around, no bats, and I'm looking, and I'm searching like crazy. I mean, I'm looking at every beam slowly, no sign of bats, looking up and down, left and right, no bats, okay? I tried to make some noise, I tried to throw some things, bat some things around. No movement. So I'm thinking, thank goodness, no bats up here. Go up, take my aluminum screen, get it over that hole, staple gun the thing around, and leave immediately and call it a day because I am not dealing with no bats anymore. Oh, Greg, I see your comment here. Are you for real? Did you have a bunch of bats in your attic once?
I did. You made me laugh, though, when you said you swept the thing out the door and then locked it.
Immediately, I closed that door behind me. It was a slap shot. Yeah, it was a wrist shot, man. That was probably one of the best wrist shots of my life, just whoosh, right out the door.
He said you locked it, though. Like, the thing's going to grab the door handle and try to come back in.
Oh, I don't want. I'm not taking any chances.
Hey, I'm putting you on notice, though. If I hear about you throwing a blanket over your head again, And I'm going to revoke your man card.
Well, I was on the couch. It was my first instinct. This thing comes flying around. Whoa, you put the blanket up before you know what's going on. It took me about 30 seconds to assess and come up with a plan. And You're telling me you wouldn't have done the same thing. You would have hopped up immediately and started fighting it with your bare hands. Not a chance.
I had 75 bats in my attic one time. So I go up there, and when you were saying you went up in your attic, so I can walk around in my attic. So there's another ceiling up there, so it's somewhat finished.
Yeah.
So I did have to poke my head through a hole in the ceiling of the attic, and I was face to face with all the colony of bats.
Oh, scary stuff.
I did kind of go petrify on that, and I just sank my head back down through the hole.
Yeah.
But I got rid of them. I got rid of them real quick.
You got rid of them, or did you call someone?
No, I got rid of them.
You know, I read online that it's illegal to exterminate them. You have to, like, bring someone in to get rid of them.
I did not exterminate them.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That was new for me. I don't even know if that's true. It's just what the internet said. But.
No, they're protected, so you can't hurt them.
Yeah.
So you just have to build them out so they can't get back in.
Ah, you see, the bat that I wrist shot out the front door was gone when I looked through the window later. So it flew away. It got away, unless, you know, a stray cat or something got to it. But as far as I know, it was fine. Like, I care. But, yeah, I think it was fine.
Yeah, you take care. And you remember, if I hear about the blanket thing again, I'm coming through your
mind. Thanks a lot, Greg. Bye. Yeah, I hear about the blanket thing. You tell me you would have done something different. Right? There is no way Jeremiah Johnson over there, you know, hopped up immediately and was ready to take on this thing with his bare hands. Not a chance. I can't imagine popping my head up in the attic and seeing about 75 of those bad boys hanging out. What do you do? I mean, you call someone. You got to have some special bat gear going on. Now, I did go up with my hat on. I had like a stretchy winter hat on. I had my glasses on. I put gloves on and I had long sleeve shirt. And so basically the only skin I had exposed was my face. I guess I could have, I don't know, put on a gas mask or something. I don't know what else I would have put on at that point. But still. But either way, the area where I think it got down from the attic to the basement, I was banging on the wall to make sure there wasn't any of its friends hanging out, and there wasn't any of its friends hanging out. you would have moved around and made noises. So definitely the wall cavity, it went down. I would have heard it moving. So I think I'm in the clear, but I don't want to have to deal with that anymore. No more. I just can't believe less than a week ago, on last Sunday night, I brought up the suggestion of someone have a bat in their house, and they said, do you want a bat in your house? And I said, I'd probably, what did I say? It'd probably be easier to have a bat than a spider or something. I can't believe that happened less than a week later. Insane to me. All right. Up next, I want to talk to Lillian Salerno. She's a lawyer. She's also someone that deals with some of the issues facing farmers. And there's a real specific issue they're facing right now that has to do with the tariffs between the United States and China. We'll talk about that coming up on Overnight America, KMOX. Joining us now is Lillian Salerno. She is the former deputy undersecretary for rural development in the Department of Agriculture, also podcast host for Pod Bless Texas. Thank you for joining us here on KMOX.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
There's a lot of farmers that are still trying to figure out what's going to happen between the United States and China when it comes to these tariffs. There has been some movements, but there hasn't been. It's also hurt farmers who have loans that are due, and they're trying to figure out, is this going to be long-term? Is this going to be short-term? We see it a lot here, even in the state of Missouri. We talk to people and how it's hurting local farmers here. And this is something you follow. With the tariffs that the United States are currently imposing, I think the long-term gain is to try to help some of these trade imbalances. But in the short term, you're telling me there's a lot of farmers that are getting hurt.
Yeah, sort of a tornado of issues that makes it so farmers are very insecure about what's going on. First, they have, you know, historically low prices anyway, mm-hmm. and then they've got this trade agreement not being worked out, which we thought it would be worked out by now. And then we have the government shut down for a month, and so we just now are finding out that our farm service loans are as delinquent as they are. This time last year, they were somewhere around 16.5% delinquency, and now we're already up to 20%. And so it just making people really nervous about, you know, where we're headed on this. And we don't really have any answers. And I think the president's trying to get answers, but what he stated, I guess, when he was speaking to the National Farm Union, it's just, you know, be patient. This is all going to be good. It's just a lot of farmers are going to go belly up while we're working it out.
You know,
which is really unfortunate.
I know that farmers, they have insurance. So if there's some sort of, you know, disaster or something, none of this is covered under insurance?
Not this part. Not this part.
Yeah.
Weather. And then you also have the climate piece. There is, you know, there's not, no matter how you feel about climate change, for a farmer, it's undeniable what kind of, you know, huge, you know, swaying back and forth of weather patterns. And so farmers are having, you know, for years now have been affected by that. And so they're just feeling a lot of pain with all these issues. I think people like the National Farmers Union are, you know, urging Secretary Perdue to try to put some more policies in place that will give farmers some additional kinds of safety nets.
You know, which type of farmers are getting hurt the most right now? I mean, are there some that are doing okay and some that, you know, particular crops that are doing very poorly when it comes to selling?
Yeah, well, the commodity crops, which is where a lot of our exports go into China, like soybeans, those are really getting tumbled because I think maybe 70% of soybeans grown in this country go to China. So mm-hmm. when all of a sudden there's no buyer, that makes it very, very challenging.
Yeah.
So it's the commodity crops. I mean, the folks that are shipping, you know, anything that's domestic shipped is not being hurt. So it's mostly things you can ship in big containers and mostly to China. So that's who's hurting, which is the Midwest.
Yeah. Joining us now, Lillian Salerno. And who are the big buyers? Have there been any other countries that have stepped up in between this spat between the United States and China?
I think they've been trying to push them to other countries, you know, in Asia and in Europe. But there's only, you know, people are used to supply lines always going this direction for the commodity crops towards China. So it's not a natural quick turn that the U.S. Farmers can do. So, you know, you have that, you know, this is a big farmer issue. I mean, there's small farmers that are going to be affected because they fell into the sort of the conglomerates in agriculture. But the big, it's the big agricultural commodity dealers that are, you know, really pushing the president and the U.S. Congress to do something. But the president and the Congress had issued some, I think they called them market stabilization, had given money last year, I think somewhere $5 billion originally, and then another maybe four, but it's not enough.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a lot of, I think there's a bunch of hearings that were last week, and then some more that are coming up to address the situation.
You know, with the negotiations with Canada, when that was going on, when they were talking about NAFTA and between Mexico, United States, and Canada, they talked about how some of these tariffs between the United States and Canada were just outrageous in some certain different industries. Has that helped at all with our relations with Canada after they renegotiated that?
There hasn't really been enough time for people to assess it, but I think there was a lot of, you know, people thinking that it would help out, but I don't know if we have enough evidence to know that it has. That's what's so hard when you make these big shifts in policy. You know, it takes a little bit to know what worked and what didn't, and I think some farmers and some people on Capitol Hill are just worried that we're changing so many things. I don't know if I agree with this.
Mm-hmm.
Just what you hear is that, you know, we're changing too many things too quickly, and therefore we don't know which part of it's working. But
yeah.
Because I worked for the Department of Agriculture and was, oversaw a big loan portfolio, the government really doesn't like it when they, you know, have huge delinquency. We don't do well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, one of the big issues, and I worked at a station that covered a lot of farming issues, and I always talked to the farm director about how China manipulated soy prices, and he would always try to explain to me how they would just, basically, they would put in a big buy, they would see if the market would change, if the price lowered, they would cancel the buy and buy it at a lower price, and they were always manipulating these little tiny ways. Do you see any negotiations with China trying to help in the way of their manipulation of the pricing?
Well, I work for the other administration, but I think what the president, I think the intention is in line with what the U.S., you know, what we're wanting to do is to make sure we have more trade, you know, within our hemisphere. But I think what we've found out is, you know, China has had the imbalance is so great that we are really in not a great position to negotiate.
Yeah.
But I think the intention is to correct just exactly what you were describing.
Oh, interesting. You know, I always wonder, too, when you hear, and this may be a weird thing, but when you hear negotiations with North Korea and trying to figure out what's going on there, there's a lot of people there. And I think about how President Trump touts this as you can have just amazing economic stability there, and just think about how many different things you can do to try to grow this country. You're in a great position in the world. I mean, does that factor into farmers if you think about, hey, maybe if we open up business to a North Korea, let's say there is a deal that's met there, would that be something that farmers could, you know, they would be able to start supplying to a whole new base of people they weren't allowed to supply to?
Well, I mean, we have a huge, we're great farmers in this country, and we have, and, you know, more than half of our U.S. embassies around the world have an agricultural diplomat in those countries because it's important for the U.S. to be able to have markets. So, yeah, it's what we do, and it's one of the ways we, you know, have, I guess, what we call business diplomacy. So I think that is some of the intentions. Certainly, we've had that with, all of our Latin American partners and then places like Vietnam where we've had stable relationships, and a lot of that comes from doing business. And so, yeah, I'm certainly that's part of the diplomatic, one of the tools we use in our diplomacy. So we just don't know. I don't know enough about what exactly we'd be selling to North Korea, but I think there's huge markets for sure.
Yeah, there's some potential. Joining us is Lillian Salerno. And one other question for you is basically how much is left in the tank when it comes to farmers. How much can we anticipate farmers can continue going the way things are before we hit a tipping point with just, you know, they're missing out, they're having a hard time, crop prices are low, and they're always watching to see if there's going to be some deal with these tariffs. I mean, how much longer can farmers go before we hit a point where we're in real big trouble?
Well, I mean, many people think we're getting there quicker than we would like to. And when you look at it and some of the problems we have, because farmers are in rural communities, and you look at some of the challenges we have in rural America, like suicide and opioid deaths and, you know, poverty, you know, that's where a lot of our farmers are. And so, and we have this other issue that, you know, all of us are concerned about, is just the age of the average farmer is, you know, in their, I think, late 50s. And so we need this new generation of farmers. That doesn't mean that your kids and my kids are going to go out there and take a small plot and farm it. But we do need a lot more people in agriculture. We have a lot of, you know, it's a different kind of agriculture, but we need people interested in it. And thank God for our, you know, land grant universities around the country that do a great job educating, you know, this next generation. But we need lots more people interested in being part of the rural fabric of this country so that we can maintain some of our history of being, you know, world known for agriculture. We just don't have enough people going into it.
Yeah, I grew up in Michigan, so Michigan State, very well known for their programs in agriculture. So very familiar with that. They always would talk about that. And yes, you need interest. You probably need good interest. I look at the Ocasio-Cortezes of the world that'll go out and say things, you know, like cows are ruining, so we need to stop. Farming when it comes to livestock because it's hurting our environment. You need good interests. You need people that are well educated in how to tend to their land and such without the people there trying to discourage it, because I don't think they know what they're talking about.
Yeah, well, many probably in Missouri and Michigan and Texas a lot like it. There's not so much difference between Republicans and Democrats. There's a lot of difference and a lot of polarization, but there's a lot of more difference, and I believe for a place like Texas that I know, between rural and urban.
Yeah.
And that's what you see people, you know, rural people not understanding what the problems are in urban America, and urban people not knowing what the problems are in rural America.
Yeah.
So I think all of us need to have an interest in both camps.
Absolutely.
to get it working.
If people want to check out the things you're doing, like your podcast, for example, or any other of the issues that you covered here today, where can they go?
Yeah, that'd be great. We launched a podcast called Pod West Texas, and I did it with another person, that's Kendall Scudder, who is also from rural America, rural Texas, and we talk about things going on in Texas, and we have a big love for rural Texas, so we talk about that. And then they can follow me on Pod West Texas or on Lillian_Salerno, and I talk about ag, but I'm not in the administration anymore. I do some consulting on ag, but there's just a lot going on, and I just am so hoping that we can get some resolution for our beloved farmers in this country.
Let's hope so. I think we all want to see this between the United States and China, and we don't want to see this long term. I think both countries can come out ahead, but really the United States, it would be great to see them come up with something that would work for everyone, and I think the farmers are in a big position to win. Let's hope for the best. Lillian Salerno, podcast is Pod Bless Texas. Had a great conversation with you today. Thank you so much for joining us here on KMOX.
Thank you.
She joins us on the GL International Realty guest line on Overnight America, KMOX. And welcome back. Got a couple of music stuff to cover with you. Maybe I'll do that right here because we got about 6 minutes here. I always like trying to follow some of these farm issues that go on, and it's funny how long farmers have had to deal with, you know, our own government, you know, the EPA and some of the crazy regulations that they try to push through there. And then you have issues where it's completely out of their hands, where you can't, you know, when something happens in the government of China, what are they going to do for something like that? So I'm hoping that they'll be able to figure something out. Now that it seems like no deal on the North Korea side, maybe they can focus more time on China and see where that goes. Okay, here's a couple of music stories. Let's see. Woodstock co-founder Michael Lang says the wait is almost over regarding performers for the Woodstock. Apparently, they're doing a 50th anniversary show, and some of the media speculation believes that you're going to see. Well, think about the original Woodstock. All these great rock artists, The Who, you had Jimi Hendrix, you know, just all of the big names of that era were performing at Woodstock. And now, 50 years later, it's Jay-Z, This is what they're guessing it's going to be. Jay-Z, The Black Keys, Dead & Company, don't even know who that is, Chance the Rapper, Imagine Dragons, and more. Really, huh? So that's kind of strange, isn't it? It's not, you would think they would keep to the rock theme, because even when they did, I don't know, what was it, 20 years ago? When they did the last Woodstock anniversary show, you know, they had the big rock names in there. It seems like they mostly focused on those style of artists, but no, I don't know. I guess they're trying to appeal to the people that want to go out to these festivals. I think the people that remember those old rock artists, and rock is definitely not the same way today that it was back then. Completely changed. So I guess it's just pop music in general. But you're going to draw a lot of people if it's Jay-Z, I guess. But you're going to get them all in one festival or whatever it is. I don't know what that's going to do. Who knows what that's going to be like? Let's see. Woodstock 50 will take place August 16th to 18th in Watkins Glen, New York, about 115 miles northwest of the original site. They couldn't get the original site either. Who knows what's going to happen through there. Yeah, here's another music story. This is kind of cool. Patrick over in D.C. emailed me last week, and he said he picked up the Beatles album CD just recently. It says, there really is a Beatles album CD, and I had to get it. I didn't know about you, but I had some serious Beatles music person. I know their works very well. They are a rock and roll band. It said, when the CD came out today, and this was last week, the Beatles Let It Be album apparently was re-released. He had his monitors and his place already warmed up. The sound so real of the room they were in, you could only just stand and stare as you heard them as if they were right there. Two songs that stand out, Get Back in the Long and Winding Road. Said, you know which voices, John, Paul, and George? It's the Beatles pure, never do what you are expected to do. You know, it's kind of interesting. So Patrick over in DC emails. And I'm sorry if I'm reading the email. It's weird when you type something out and it sounds one way in your head, but when you send the email and someone else reads it out loud, it's completely different. But he brought up something that when I read this, I thought, man, we really enjoy music in a completely different way. I think about how the people younger than I am, let's say you're in your 20s, you listen to music through your own personal headphones. I mean, how many people that are 20 years old are actually going out and buying these big stereo systems anymore? You just don't see it. It's so completely different. Like my parents' generation, of course they had the big hi-fi stereos and the record players and things like that. You know, even when I was growing up, I wanted to have the big speakers so I can listen and enjoy music, and I used to listen to entire albums. It's not like that anymore. They don't listen to entire albums. They do listen to just songs on their Spotify, the ones they want to hear or maybe recommended to them or whatever it is. You know, they still find ways to discover new music on the radio, but it's nowhere near how my parents' generation discovered music, which was you listen to the whole album, and then you read the notes inside of the album, and you looked at the artwork, and you talked to your friends about it, and it was a big deal when you spend, you know, $4 to go see The Who come into town or something like that. You know, $5 to go see Elton John back in the day or whatever it was. Completely different experience. One other music story. We only got about a minute here. On Spotify, yeah, someone posted a list of the most popular Spotify songs. So what they do is basically, if you don't know what Spotify is, it's a streaming music service. And what they'll do is they'll look at certain areas. And if some songs are being played more in one area than other areas, then they say, okay, this is a popular song just for this region. So I wanted to see, what were the popular songs of St. Louis? I didn't know any of these artists. I felt like I'm so disconnected to rap and pop music anymore. Let me just read some of these artists. Benji Brothers, Arm D something, then it cuts off on the Too Much Stereo, one band called Missouri, one called Five with the number five at the front. Zedzilla, Everything or Nothing, Carlton, Dr. Dog. I don't know any of this stuff. And I wanted to go online, and I thought, you know, maybe I'll play a couple of these songs. And I couldn't even get through the top five without thinking, I'm going to have to get a full-time or a part-time person, like, just to bleep out all the swear words. It's like a full-time job almost, trying to find all the curse words in these songs. It was terrible. So I thought, no, I can't do it. I can't play any of these songs. but that's what's popular. In the top 10, I knew zero artists. Number 11 on the list was Headies. Never Been Any Reason. Now, how does that one fit in with the rest of them? I don't know. I scratched my head on that. All right. Another hour of Overnight America coming up next. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. If you miss any part of the show, download it on the podcast. KMOX.com/overnight.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.